Carol O'Forey, yeah. East Coast Radio.
A series for kiddies on CBBS called Jojo and Gran Gran caught my eye a while ago, and I've loved every single episode. One specific episode that literally brought me to tears was an episode where Jojo goes off to the hair salon with Gran Gran. So Gran Gran gets her hair done, and the stylist comes in and says, Jojo, I have some time. If you'd like to do your hair as well, I will do your hair. And in that moment, I literally wanted to cry because I had never seen, as a black woman on TV, cartoons representing my hair, the experience of going to a hair salon, the texture of my hair, and all of that. It was just so beautiful. I tweeted about it, and I was able to get a hold of the creator of the entire show on CBBS out in the UK. The creator of Jojo and Gran Gran, author, speaker, and consultant, award-winning expert in early years education, and mother of two, Laura Henry Elaine MBA. Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And what a fantastic introduction. And I'm delighted that you asked to have this conversation with me.
Absolutely. This is such a beautiful cartoon of representation of the relationship between a little grandmother and a little child, a little girl child. I believe that this was based on you and your grandmother's relationship. How did you come up with it?
Yeah, it is. It's based on the relationship that I had with my beloved grandmother, Marie Helen. And she passed away when she was 101. Can you believe it? She lived a very long, strong life and a beautiful human being inside and out. And my grandparents were part of what we call the Windrush generation. So as well as my mum, they arrived in the UK from St. Lucia in the 1950s and 1960s. And that generation from the whole of the Caribbean, they were only meant to come and work for a short while to help out the UK government post-war, Second World War. My parents stayed, but my grandmother returned back to St. Lucia. And I do remember slightly when she was here as a young child, but she left when I was about 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And then subsequently going back to visit her. And my sons and I used to visit her on a regular basis, probably about every year, every 18 months, 2 years. And the last time we saw her, I'm looking up here, Carol, as I speak to you, try not to get emotional. I'm looking at her picture, smiling down on me. Oh. And she was 101, and, you know, family and friends were there. And she was saying to them, you know, this is my Laura. When she was a little girl, I used to do this and I used to do that. And, you know, the tears were coming down my eyes as she was talking about me as a child, because most of it I couldn't remember. I didn't have that memory. Right. And it was one of the ones that really struck a chord with me, because I'm one of 6 and I'm in the middle. And the St. Lucia community in London lived in an area called Paddington, and we moved into an area called Notting Hill, which is a few miles away. If you've heard of the Grenfell Tower fire, we literally lived opposite there. And so every Sunday, my gran said she used to come and visit us. She used to go to the market on the Saturday, buy us sweets, treats and food. And out of my siblings, I'd be the only one at the window getting super excited, jumping up and down, because in the Creole language that they speak in St. Lucia, we call the grandmother Mama. So she said, I'd be out the window saying, Mama's coming, Mama's coming, with all of these lovely treats. And it was such a beautiful story. And then a few months after that, her 101st birthday, she died. And naturally, I was grief-stricken, Carol. I was literally, I mean, we flew out for the funeral and it was so upsetting. And I remember coming back, and for a few weeks, the grief really taken a hold of me. I'm not ashamed to say. And then I remembered, because of my work, my career as a teacher, you know, before then I thought, you know, I'm an early years teacher. I still now do consultancy on a global level and training. There's something I could do here with this story about a little girl and her grandmother. So hence I wrote the first book, All in a Week, which was based on the grandmother and the little girl, and then the build up to the Sunday when they meet, in terms of, you know, they meet together. Mm-hmm. Then I wrote another one, 12 and a half days till Christmas. And then part of my consultancy work, I work with TV production companies looking at early years, child development, etc. for shows. And one of them, we made the connection with CBBS. So we were at a meeting with the development senior production team. And I just happened to mention, as I do, always to arts, I've got an idea here. And I had a conversation, because I'm based in London, but CBBS, Children's BBC, is based in Manchester. So I went up there and initially they said no to the show because I don't think it was something that, you know, the idea as it was then.
Yeah.
And then I connected with Roz Atelier, who's head of the children's development in CBBS. And she loved it. And what was interesting, when I first met her and I explained to her about my St. Lucian heritage, she said to me, well, I'm St. Lucian heritage as well. And I was like, wow, this is, you know, what a coincidence. And Ross and her team, they really worked hard on. And I think there was a couple of times that the commissioner said no to the show. And then Ros worked hard at it again. You know, I have to give so much thanks to Ros Atelier and her team. And then finally got it commissioned. And last year, March, was the first episode and we had a launch in London. And I have to give thanks to the Children's BBC, the production team, everybody involved, equally to A Productions who do the animation. So many people were involved in the show, the voiceover actors, the person who did the theme song,
right,
the St. Lucian High Commissioner and Tourism Authority, because they, you know, they advised as well. And we had a Caribbean reference group. So many people went in making this little seed of an idea, something that is my lived experience, onto screen and has created this most beautiful show.
Absolutely. And it is a beautiful show. I really thoroughly enjoy it. And my little daughter and my son both enjoy watching the show. The different experiences that she goes and has with her granny are just so special. I have to ask you, how important is diversity with children in that ECD space, you know, of 0 to 5, and exposing them to different types of cartoons and materials that they watch?
Carol, I think it's super important that children see diversity all around on screen and in print, whether or not they're in an early childhood set, whether it's a kindergarten, nursery or school. And I think the more that we can expose children within their early years, the better, because there's research informs us that even babies as young as 3 months can tell the difference in skin colouring, right? And then when children get older, even age 3 and 4, they can start differentiating in terms of who they play with and not play with. And I've heard parents and even teachers say to me, they've had children as young as 3 make inappropriate racist comments. And we have to say to ourselves, where does that come from?
Right.
And myself, in my background, I always take it back to, you know, that's one of the positives as being an early childhood teacher now working in children's media and publications, is that it's not just about having a book that's got a black family in or a child with a disability.
Mm-hmm.
It's that teachers learning in terms of what are they learning in terms of being, you know, anti-racist, supporting inclusion and diversity, and as well as parents. Last year, I co-wrote a guide for Mattel, the toy company, in how to raise an anti-racist child. And this year, I co-wrote another one for parents and, not for parents, excuse me, I co-wrote another guide for educators and teachers for themselves working with children to promote diversity, inclusion. And then I have a book coming out next month called My Skin, Your Skin, which looks at racism and empowerment. And I feel that when people, you know, with JoJo and Grand, the amount of messages that CBBS have, myself, I even received a fan letter the other day from a child. It's not just black and brown children. This is good for equally too. It is for white children to see diversity as well, so that they grow up seeing black people in positive roles rather than the stereotypical images that we sometimes see. So within the UK, we have areas where it is 100% white. And I've had messages from parents in those communities saying, thank goodness for JoJo, because we're raising the next generation now not to be racist, to be more inclusive, to be, you know, embracing differences. And I just feel it's super important. And equally to disability, because my eldest son is autistic. I just think it's, a fantastic thing that we're seeing now within the world in terms of tolerance. And I feel a lot of that has probably come from the pandemic as well. I think people's views have been more reflective. What are we doing as a society?
Right. What are we doing as a society? So here in South Africa, the month of September is considered Heritage Month. What it's all about is encouraging people to celebrate their heritage, their cultural background, and celebrate the culture and differences from other backgrounds as well. So it's the whole month of September. This particular story is, of course, one that allows people to look into the life of a little girl, like you say, black little girl with her grandmother and the experiences they have, which can give other cultures an experience of it from a positive perspective, which is absolutely beautiful. What would you say is your message for us during this month of Heritage Month and celebrating our diversity, but also being inclusive and open to learning from one another?
I think there's two words that I use. They both begin with L here, Carol. It's hearing you say that, and you know, that's great that you guys are doing that. It's, to me, learning from each other and leaning in and listening and sharing. And for instance, in the UK, we have Black History Month in October, Carol, which is probably quite similar to your Heritage Month. And yes, it is important that we have a month of celebration and learning, but equally too, I think we need to be looking at that every single day, 365 days of the year as well. So as if somebody's new to this, whether or not it's an adult or a child, what are they taking on in terms of an extension? Oh yeah, I didn't realise that. Oh, that's really fascinating. I want to learn more about that. And we've got now the beauty of the internet where we can Google things and we can, you know, we can try things out.
Right.
We can open up, because I don't think there's any excuse now to say that I didn't know, when there's just so much stuff, materials out there for us to learn from.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's just too much that we can learn from. Speaking of learning, I've learned that you have a new book coming out in October. And as you've just mentioned, it's Black History Month in the UK. Can you tell us more about the book?
Yes, the book that I wrote last year with Penguin Random House and Lady Bird, the publisher, sits under Penguin Random House. It's called My Skin, Your Skin. And it's beautifully illustrated. And it's a book for children age 4 and above. I focus on explaining, in terms of how a child will be able to understand it, what is race, what is racism, how can they be anti-racist, why racism is wrong, and more importantly about the empowerment, because for me that is super important, because we can focus on the negatives on racism, but equally to how can children empower them. And I talk about that children can be anything they want to be, irrespective of your skin colour. You can be a ballet dancer. You can be a presenter like yourself, Carol.
Right.
You know, it's all about saying, actually, your colour shouldn't stop you from being what you need to do in society. And it's the feedback that I've had so far is that it's a well-needed book. The illustrator, Onyenya Uwe, she's done a fantastic job on matching my words into the illustration. So I'm just, you know, super proud about that book. And I'm hopefully going to be writing more books, because even I'm dyslexic myself. I love writing, and I've got ideas for other books as well.
Right. That sounds exciting. That sounds really exciting. And I guess my second last question would be, what more could adults do to empower their children on diversity so that we raise a generation of people who celebrate each other's differences and not use those differences to treat each other badly?
Carol, it's just super important to have conversations with your children, because children pick a lot of things up subconsciously. You know yourself with your two children, and I know with my children in my 20s, sometimes you think they're not listening, but they are.
Yeah.
And in the guide that I co-wrote with my colleague Emma for parents, Emma and I talked about, I shared with Emma how children pick things up subconsciously. So say, for instance, you're walking down the street, and actually I was at an event last night and I shared this with colleagues there, in terms of we can say that we're not racist, but being anti-racist is, because it's a verb, it's a doing word, so what are we doing? And if, as a parent, you're walking down the street and you see a group of black youths walking towards you, okay, do you hold your child's hand tighter? what is your child picking up then? Right? Because that's really powerful, Carol. And even now when I'm reading that guide, if I have to look at bits, if I'm working on something, I think, wow, that's super powerful. And I've heard a lot of parents feedback to me, wow, Laura, I actually do that, but I didn't realize I was doing it. Mm. And children pick up those clues because it's like a symbol to them. My parent hasn't verbally said anything to me, but they're holding my hand tight as we walk past these youths. So I think it's for parents just to have conversations with their children, to watch TV shows. There's loads of free stuff that they can pick up on the internet, as we know, and books. And I always say it's not about saying to your child, right, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we need to have a conversation about racism. To me, it should be done in a natural way. So it's age, stage, and ability appropriate. And, you know, maybe setting problem solvings. What would you do if you were left out of a game? What would happen if one of your friends were left out of the game? And embracing differences. So if you do live in a neighbourhood that's not diverse, how are you exposing your children to other cultures, other ways of living? So mm-hmm. is it visiting those communities? Is it, you know, befriending in what I would say in a positive way? So your child grows up really culturally informed in a positive way about differences. But I always feel as a parent, it's not just about going out there buying that black doll, that black puzzle. As a parent, it's about the language that you use with your child, what you do, because there's talking the talk, but there's actually doing the talk in action. And children are, you know, surprise us all the time, and they do pick up subconsciously their parents' views on a number of things.
Right. Wow, that's so powerful. We're planning on airing this on Wednesday, which is our Woman Crush Wednesday, which you are our Woman Crush Wednesday on Wednesday.
Ooh.
Yay. So we'd love you to leave us with a message for the women that are listening to you.
I love that, Carolyn. Thank you for having me as your Woman Crush Wednesday next week. I think the message that I would say, woman, is to, you know, always be your best. Never be afraid, and to challenge yourself, to give yourself a challenge every day. What am I going to do today to challenge myself, number one? And I think number two, something that my mum said, her grandmother, so following on the line of females here, right?
Right.
What my great-grandmother shared with her is we must always ask, because the answer is either going to be a yes or a no.
Wow.
And another one, I've got a few here. I'm being a bit greedy, Carol, but I think the women will appreciate this. I mentor as well, so I mentor young people. So I've got one that I'm mentoring now. She's going to university in a few weeks' time. One of the things that I always say to her and to other young women, youngsters, is when they say, I can't do this, I can't do that. One told me once, if you can believe it, that their teacher said, don't go into journalism because there's no work in that. And I was shocked that teacher projected her limited beliefs onto this young person. And as we know, there's so many different areas that you can go into in journalism now. You know, the world literally is your oyster. You know, look at us now from South Africa. I'm in the UK. And so as she told me that, I was just about to go and do a keynote. And one of the things I said there, it was actually a female that shared this with me. So again, sharing the female voice here, was you can be anything you want to be. The only thing you can't be is the King or Queen of England, because that's hereditary.
That is such a beautiful way to end this. I love that.
absolutely. But it's true, Carol. I think that's what we need to be thinking about, right?
Yeah, that is absolutely beautiful. Laura, I can't thank you enough for this. Creator of the amazing TV show. You can catch it here in South Africa on CBBS. I watch it with my kids, Jojo and Gran Gran. The beautiful, amazing Woman Crush Wednesday for us, Laura Henry Elaine MBA, who is the creator of that show. She's also an award-winning expert in early years education, a mum of two, and a speaker, consultant, and author with a new book coming in October. Once again, thank you so much, Laura, for your time. Really do appreciate it.
And thank you, Karen. Hopefully one day, fingers crossed, I'll get to South Africa and we can meet in person.
Yay, I would love that. You have to stop in Durban. This is the warmest place in South Africa, so you have to come to Durban.
Definitely. Thank you, Carol, and thank you to the... And they can catch me on the social socials. I'm Laura H. Elaine on all my socials. So thank you, Carol.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Laura.
Carol Ofori, weekdays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. East Coast Radio.